What is up, our friends from the internets? It is 2021, Woo. The year of our Lord. We have survived 2020. Everything is better now.
Yeah, every problem is solved.
Yeah, Joe Biden, our loving dementia uncle, is taking care of us.
Finally got to set things right in America, the United States.
Mm-hmm. Kamala has ended racism once and for all.
Which finally, right? Like, God.
Fine. You would think after fucking 2021 years we could figure this shit out, right? I'm not sure what I'm implying is 2021 years old, because America nor the Earth is. But
yeah, something is. Our concept of Western time, I guess? I don't know.
Yeah, Christianity. Yeah, is I guess 2021 years old.
For what that's worth.
For what that's worth. Yeah, we're here. I mean, consoles are all over the shelves now, thanks to 2021.
Finally, I can get a new GPU at the drop of a
video card.
In fact, I'm surrounded by GPUs constantly. They won't stop coming to my house.
Yeah, I heard video cards are actually going on sale this week.
Yeah, so, they're gonna give you a free one whether you want it or not. They'll pay you.
Yeah, PC CPUs are going on sale. You can now get all the
RAM.
Ryzen chips you've been looking for.
Big RAM sales.
Wow, what an amazing week. I'm your host, Tony, here with my amazing co-host, Leo. And in case you just like fell out from under a rock, none of these things are true.
Yeah,
it's still just like 2020. The world is in a rough spot. And yeah, we're here to talk about video games.
Yeah, and we're glad. Yeah, I'm looking forward to another year of talking about video games with you, Tony, and all y'all listeners. And I hope you had a good New Year's, everybody.
Yeah, and I will say, you know, despite, you know, all the dumpster fire that was 2020, you know, I think there's still positive things to take from the year.
Oh, for
right?
sure.
So, you know, I feel like we get kind of stuck in this, like, everything sucks, you know, kind of mentality. And, you know, it's funny, I was talking to my my girlfriend right before New Year's, and she was just like, I'm just so happy for this year to end.
Yeah,
you know, I hate coronavirus and all this stuff, and I'm just ready to move on. And I was just like, you know, like, we got a new place together this year, like, we got to have a lot of great memories this year, like, you know, it wasn't ideal, but you know, I wouldn't erase it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so and I got a PS5, my true love, this year, so
everything's hunky-dory as far as Tony goes.
Yeah. But, you know, I think it's hard to keep perspective sometimes, especially when
I agree with that.
The world is telling you everything is so fucking bad.
Yeah, and we're kind of making fun of the idea of, like, being optimistic about the new year, but I do think there is value in, like, if everyone feels optimistic, you know, that's sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy, where if everyone has a better attitude, that can sort of self-reinforce, so, as silly as it is to imply that everything's fixed, it is like, yeah, let's look forward to it. There's nothing wrong with having hope, and I am, you know, I'm certainly trying to be optimistic, and I'm glad everyone else is too. I think that can help.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm not gonna get, like, deep into politics on this thing, but I will say, like, the single, like, most insidious thing Donald Trump did was
train kill hope.
Yeah, right? Like, like drive out optimism in a way that was very insidious and damaging to people, I think. I don't think he actually took any, you know, there were some things that changed, but overall, most of his actions were things, I think, that fell within the realm of politics as usual, right? Mm-hmm. I think what was really scary was the fact that, you know, he just further kind of drove up hopelessness, right? And I think, and negativity and pettiness, right? And, so hopefully we can move forward and, like you said, you know, kind of promote optimism as a whole, self-fulfilling prophecy. Let's all try and have a better year. And I think we can if we do.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't think it's that hard, right? If we all just believe, like a
and it's, like there a you go,
spirit bomb, like a Goku spirit bomb.
There you go, everybody. Take that into 2021.
Take that into 2021. Just fucking enjoy it. Play some Cyberpunk. Have a good time.
Yeah.
You know.
Unless you have a PS4, then sorry.
Yeah, then you're fucked. Leo, with all that being said, it's 2021. What games have you been playing this week?
I played quite a few games. A lot of them were the same games that we talked about last week. I did beat Doom Eternal, which was quite proud of.
What a gamer.
Yeah, I know. It's like, you know, I talked about this last week. I'm not amazing at first-person shooters, but I'm okay. Like, I play a lot of them, and this was a really hard game. I just play on normal, too. And there were a few times where I thought about bumping it down to easy, because you can just do that whenever you want, which I appreciate. I think it's cool they don't, like, in any way penalize you or try and make you feel stupid. Like, that seems so petty. Remember when that was like fashionable to be like, you could play easy mode, but we're going to make you wear like a pink armband or some dumb shit like that. It's so like childish and petty, you know, that's like some Randy Pitchford bullshit.
Some Randy Pitchford bullshit, yeah. Right?
So I thought that was cool, but no, I managed to plow through. I just kept doing it over and over, and by the end of the game, they just kept going. Like the combat encounter would start, and they just wouldn't end, and they just keep dropping in like the hardest enemies over and over until you're like, "Are you kidding me?" But when you survive, it feels pretty amazing, and you're like, "Holy shit, I can't believe I did that."
Yeah, I will say, like, I'm not a fan of those like and another one mechanics. Yeah. You know what I mean, like. Where you kind of show your expertise over like the difficult enemy and they're like, oh yeah, we'll do it again.
This game does that. Like, this game does that a lot. Yeah. And it's,
and you're just like, fuck man.
Yeah. On the one hand, I agree. Like it does, it feels a little like not super creative, but at the same time, I will say like there is some power and I'm sure you'll agree with this as a, you know, big From Software fan. There is something extraordinary about being like, there's no fucking way I can do this. It's impossible. And then you actually do it and you're like, holy shit, I did it. And there is value in that feeling of just like, you know, insurmountable odds and then overcoming it is pretty cool.
I agree with that 100%.
Yeah. So I beat the game and it's a little too long. I think like it's quite a long game, but it was really cool. Like I loved it. Actually, it really ended up enjoying the lore, oddly enough, which I know everyone talks about is pretty tacked on, but I actually really liked it. It's all about like interdimensional travel and like hell and, it's very
fucking Doom guy.
Yeah, but it like explains him in a way that I actually found pretty compelling, and I totally understand if other people don't. But I actually ended up like watching a video about the lore and being like, this is cool, man. They like tie it back to the original Doom in a kind of a cool way. I know no one's playing Doom for the story, but that was kind of a fun little bonus. And then what I ended up doing was going through and, you know, just using YouTube to like unlock some of the secrets I missed, and then also all the cheats, which you basically can just find cheat codes in every level. And they're fucking cool. And what's neat about it is they just let you use cheats and you can just use them. And there's no penalty whatsoever. The only penalty is that it like cuts off this certain thing called they're like Slayer Gates where it's like super difficult. But other than that, what you can't do with cheats, you can do anything you want. So after playing through the game on normal and beating it, there's something very cathartic about like just running through with everything on, infinite ammo, fucking basically invincible and just slaying everything that you come across. It's very therapeutic. I always love doing that in games, especially hard games, when after you beat it you can go back through and like just decimate all the things that caused you stress.
Yeah, there's such joy in that, right? Like after the fact.
Totally. Like I think Resident Evil's good about that. That's why they always give you an infinite rocket launcher after trying really hard, and that's so fun. You're just like, fuck you, Nemesis.
Yeah, I can think of like two instances where like that was like a thing. Like Metal Gear Solid on PlayStation, when you beat it and got like the stealth thing, like yeah. The stealth bandana, and then you have the infinite ammo. Yeah, and you're just running around fucking invisible with machine guns, just blasting your way through all these things.
Exactly, it's really fun.
Because you're so meticulous the first time through that game, you're just like, oh, like this is crazy.
And that's kind of how this is too. It's like, you just get to BFG out and you can just wipe out everyone with one shot, as opposed to before where you're literally constantly about to die. It's really cool. And I've talked about this a lot, but I think it shows such confidence where they just let you play with cheats. They're like, hey, you want to break the game? We don't fucking care. Go ahead. I love that. It's just like... That's how it ought to be.
It's your game.
Yeah, you know? You already paid for it. And the fact that they're like, yeah, you want to play through the game with cheats? Go ahead. I mean, you have to unlock them, but like, I think that's so cool. Again, just being very accessible. Because I could totally, it's not a game for everyone, but it'd probably be a game for everyone if you just threw the cheats on. Just the pure spectacle of it. It's quite cool. And that'd be a cool way to enjoy the level design and the really just the masterful soundtrack. I think I'm probably done with it for now. I'm not going to get the DLC. But I went through, got most of the secrets, and just really had a wonderful time with that game. I can't give it enough praise, especially for $20 when it's on sale. Like, that's a no-brainer. Highly recommended.
A heckin' good time.
Yeah, it is. I also played some more Final Fantasy IX. Not a whole lot more to report there other than it's still extremely charming. I'm still doing the thing where I just run through, one-shotting everything, and really just enjoying the story and enjoying exploring and... enjoying the really funny dialogue. Man, Vivi really is just so adorable. He's amazing. He's I'd say he's one of the best Final Fantasy characters ever. Like, he's just so timeless and so sweet, and he doesn't know what's going on. He's just trying to figure it out, and he keeps tripping, like, all the time, which is very sweet. Mm-hmm. His character design is so cool. Like, he just looks awesome. You're just like, what is under that hat? I don't know. But it's fucking cool. Maybe it's nothing. Maybe he's just, like, a void.
I always imagine they're like a void.
Yeah, which is so cool. I love that idea. Like he's just like a formless void with like yellow eyes.
I feel like that fits the like the narrative of Black Mages, yeah, right?
They're just like this coalesced raw power.
Yeah, it's like nothingness, right? Yeah. But I do. I love Eevee. I think like I would say it's probably my specific favorite Final Fantasy character. Mostly because of all the things you said, like the it's just so charming, right? Yeah. He's just like so and so like pure. And not what you would expect out of like one of these like Masters of the Dark Arcane.
Yeah, yeah, you know, like, absolutely. Yeah, he's like a little 9-year-old kid.
Yeah, it's great. It's great.
It is great. And again, we talked about this last week, but it just keeps coming up that the way it's such a stark contrast to the other two PS1 Final Fantasies. Like it's just so joyful and sweet and like just charming and fun and colorful in a way that 7 and 8 weren't. And that comes from someone who likes 7 and 8, but it's just like a such a tonic to those that I've just continued to enjoy it. I'm really excited. And I think I'm getting pretty close to disc 3, I think. So I'm getting through it really fast. But yeah, anyway, again, great game. Wonderful FMVs. Highly recommend. Great Android port. The only game that I played that was kind of new is I played a bunch of Grim Dawn. Have you played?
I have not heard of that game.
It's a ARPG kind of in the vein of like Path of Exile. I don't know if you ever played Path of Exile either.
Yeah, I played Path of Exile.
Yeah, so it's like that, only it's not free, and it's sort of more single-player focused, which I actually prefer. It's sort of more in the vein of Diablo 2, whereas I'd say PoE is more like Diablo 3. And it's great, you know? It's like, I really like those games. It's a mindless sort of play, but I do love that loop of just, you go out, you explore, kill a bunch of monsters, get a bunch of loot, go back, sell it, have more gold, upgrade everything, go back out. Like, it is so simple, but it is so fun. And yeah, it's just a great game to just click away at when you're kind of, it's very meditative.
Yeah, those are always so gratifying, right? Like, just when the loop is very understandable and like, you know, you can just see it on the surface and you're like, okay, I know what the deal is here, right? Like, like I'm going to just grind away, come back, be a little stronger, grind away, come back, be a little stronger. And it's, there's no tricks. You know what I mean? It's not trying to trap you.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's people who put in 2000, 3000 hours in a Path of Exile, and which always blows my mind. I don't know. Like there's a whole part of the game that I'm just not engaged with that allows you to play it for 2000 hours. So, you know, they'll say there's a lot of complexity in builds and min-maxing and all that stuff, which I'm, you know, if I keep playing, maybe I'll get into that. But really on the surface, it's just a fun gameplay loop, just clicking away. And then, yeah, it is fun building out classes and finding your skills. And apparently I was reading Grim Dawn versus Path of Exile. Just that's always fun. They were saying that it's like pretty nicely designed and that pretty much any skill can be sort of the focus of any build and you'll be able to complete the game. Whereas that's not really true for Path of Exile. It's very easy to fuck yourself. So, yeah, it's been fun.
Yeah.
I've only put in like 10 hours, but yeah, it's very meditative. I did play some more Final Fantasy 14, which is fun. I unlocked
this guy over here.
I unlocked all the Aether Currents, so now I can fly around. But I'm totally stuck on the last duty, like dungeon of Stormblood, where you have to fight the Emperor. Every time I try it, I die. And I know we don't normally do this in this segment, but I was curious if maybe you had some advice or if you had any trouble with that battle. Because I'm not even getting to the boss. We keep getting completely wiped by just trash. And it's happened three times now. And I don't know
what it's called.
I don't know if I'm the problem. I think it's called Al Amigo.
Yeah, you're probably the problem.
I mean, maybe I've never had this problem before, really. Like, I'm doing my job as a tank. I'm absorbing all the damage. Maybe I'm just absorbing too much. I don't know.
I don't remember having an issue with it.
It's also possible I've just had poor luck. Like, maybe I've just gotten paired with three shitty healers. But at a certain point, you have to wonder, like, well...
maybe I'm
yeah, exactly. Problem, right? And I'm happy to admit that if that's the case. I just don't know what I could be doing differently.
I don't remember having a big issue with it.
Interesting.
That's the one where you're running through the city and it's got like the laser cannons and the...
Yeah.
Where you know, it's got like the turrets and you gotta like run around between
that's
them.
That's correct.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know that one. Yeah, I don't remember. You don't get to Xenos?
No, I haven't even gotten to Xenos. I got past the first boss once and then we died on the way to the second boss and then before that, the last two times we haven't even gotten to the first boss. We just keep getting wiped by like just trash. It's weird.
I would assume that there's some kind of trash debuff.
Yeah.
I've never tanked it though, so it's like, you know, you don't even fucking care about those things when you don't tank. Yeah. You're like, I don't know, I just queue up and we make it to the end.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's weird.
It's hard to have a good, as a DPS player.
Yeah.
There's one thing that DPS players know is that we don't know anything. We just do the rotation until everything is dead.
Well, that's kind of what's funny. It's like we were talking about last week. Like, there is so much about this game I don't understand. And like I said, usually in the main quest, they don't, it's not an issue. You know, you'll wipe once maybe because the boss has a weird new mechanic, but we're not even getting to the boss. So there's clearly something going on. I'll keep trying.
I do wish, just weird. No, I do wish in that game there was a better way to like view your debuffs.
Yeah.
And especially like post-mortem, like see like, you know, you can go into your combat log, but it's pretty convoluted to read. You know what I mean? Because it's so, like, there's so much stuff going on. So, you know, even, like, I adjusted my UI to make my debuffs really big. And even then, it's so hard to notice what they're doing or try and read them because they're super long. And, like, you know, you can't hover them after they're off. So it's, like, it's really hard to figure out what just happened.
Yeah.
You know, especially when you're with a group and they don't want to, like, sit there and wait for you to read the combat log and try and like sort it out, you know?
Yeah. I desperately wish you could play with AI characters. Like, I hate playing with people. I think you can. You can't in Stormblood. Apparently you can in Shadowbringers though.
I think Stormblood has trust, right?
I don't think so. If so, I've not been able to figure out how to do it because that would make a huge difference. I just don't like failing with real people. I don't mind failing with AI because it's like, who cares? But I just don't want to play with people, which is, I know, don't play an MMO, but like everything else about the game I enjoy so much. I like seeing people. I just don't want to play with strangers.
Yeah, no, I understand. Well, if you want, worst case scenario, I can come help you do it.
Yeah, so, that might be fun. Maybe that's the thing. Yeah. I just need to get some friends who play it and then it would be fun. It's just the, it's just the constantly queuing up with strangers and then we fail and everyone gets mad. Like, I do. That is not a fun gameplay experience for me.
Yeah, I agree. Like, even my my free company, like, I don't play with them very much.
Yeah.
You know, like, we're not, like, those kinds of friends. So, it is hard, right? Like, because I don't really know those people. There's, like, two people I talk to in my free company.
Yeah, that's usually how it goes, like, right? It's like, you'll say hi to people, but really, it's only two or three people that you end up actually, like, hanging out with.
It's funny. There's one person I talked to in my old free company. They left the free company and started a new one. So I joined their new free company, and they're still the only person I talk to. In
my That's funny.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of lame, actually.
Well, it's whatever you... It's like, that's my New Year's resolution, is I'm just going to play games however the fuck I want and not worry about it and not try and give myself a hard time for, like, stopping or for moving on to something else or just playing a game how I want.
Yeah.
I'm trying to take away the obligation. That's so I'm going to try and go into 2021. So, yeah, that's mostly what I played. Again, as always, a few things here and there, but those are the main things. What did you get up to over the new year? Did you get some time to play?
Oh, boy. I did get a little time to play. Some of the old normal stuff. Like, I've been playing Ghost of Tsushima still some more.
Nice.
I still love it, man.
Yeah, it's so very good.
It looks so good, right? Like, it's just visually, I think, is the... As much as I like everything else, the game visually is just incredible.
I agree. It's quite stunning.
Like,
and it's very surreal, too. It's, like, not trying to be realistic in the way The Last of Us 2 is. It's much more, like, painterly. But it's, yeah, it's a gorgeous game and very identifiable, you know, very unique looking.
And there's a very grounded level of, like, magic to it, which I think is great, right? Like, it's not that mystical or anything.
Yeah, but there's a taste of that.
Yeah, there's a taste of it, but the scenery is so magical, right? Like, you know, like just these kind of discolored groves and like, you know, the flowing leaves. And you're like, this does not make any sense, but it's amazing.
Yeah, right? It's really interesting. Like the particle effects, I think Digital Foundry was talking about this, but like the particle effects really are pretty impressive. And like they built a whole engine around just like leaves blowing and a lot of stuff you might take for granted, but is actually pretty cutting edge in a lot of ways.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. So I played some of that, not too much. I don't have a lot to say about it other than I still really like it. I played my like fascination this week. I don't remember if I talked about this last week. I think I might have mentioned it, is playing ping pong on the Quest.
Yeah, yeah, we talked a little bit about it last week.
I'm fully hooked, bro. I ordered a paddle like that connects my Quest controller to. That's so funny. It's like a ping pong paddle.
It's like 2008 with the Wii all over again.
Yeah, it is like 2008 with the Wii all over again. I'm literally trying to play every day. Like, it's my workout. I'm gonna jump in, play ping pong for an hour and break a sweat. And it's so fun to just like, so, you know, you could just set up a game with a computer, like against AI, and just sit there and just rally with it. And, you know, it'll keep score, but it'll just keep rolling through games. You can just keep playing and playing and playing. Yeah. And then you'll get notifications like someone challenged you, right? They'll just challenge you based on your ELO or MMR, whatever you want to call it. And you just pop into a game. You can choose ranked or unranked. You play against them. You know, you can keep playing, or if you back out, you're just back into playing against AI. So it's just like, you're just nonstop ping-ponging, you know, like for the whole time. And it's great. Like, there's so little downtime, which I love. Like, my biggest beef with VR, like, the reason I have not been playing Population 1, which I really love, is it's just, like, that game became so flooded with downtime for me. Where, you know, it's a VR, so, you know, you might die early, you might not. But if you die early, even, you're just kind of stuck as a ghost walking around. You might get res, but you probably won't. And then, you know, back to the lot, or back to the, to, like, your game, like, I don't know what they call it. It's not the lobby, but like you're loading your screen, and then you queue up and you wait for the queue to pop, and you're back in like the lobby waiting for the game to fill, and then your game finally starts. And it's like, it's one thing if you're on a PC and it's like there's 4 or 5 minutes between games and you're looking at your phone or open up a YouTube video, but you're just stuck.
Yeah,
in VR.
That's a good
it's
point, fucking... actually. Yeah, you'd have to like take off the headset and then it immediately shuts down and you're like, fuck. Then you have to like that's a good point, actually. Downtime in VR is a very different animal than just being able to look away.
Well, and what I don't get is like, so in real VR fishing, I mean, literally you can just pull up like a little browser in VR in the fishing game and like load YouTube
videos. Oh, that's cool.
Right? So like, yeah, you can just have a pop-up, like a window and just run a YouTube video. So like while you're fishing, you could just like, I'll pull up like a podcast YouTube video and just have it running the whole time. And actually, I joined the Discord for the 11 table tennis game.
Nice.
And the developer is just in there nonstop, right? And I told him, like, can we get a YouTube like pop out window for in game? And he's like, yeah, we're gonna implement it like soon. We're working on it right now.
Oh, that's awesome.
And it's just like, if I could just put on a YouTube in the top corner of like a podcast and just rally ping pong, dude, I'm just like, I'm gonna do this nonstop. I'm stuck. You know?
That's cool.
It's great. I love it. It feels so good. It's so fun. It feels like ping pong. I don't really care that I suck really bad at it, and I'm very bad at it. like, extremely bad. But it doesn't really bother me. You know, just, like, have a good time. Everyone's been nice to me so far. Most people turn off their mics because it's gross playing ping pong with your mic on. Right? Yeah, because you're like, shit. Oh,
ah, fuck. You know, yeah, totally.
Yeah. So most of it's just clapping your VR hands together, like, when someone does good, or doing like a VR hand shrug if you like, you know, just miss the ball completely, which is fun. Yeah, I'm all in on this
game.
That
is so cool.
I love it. It's so good. Yeah. 11 table tennis is what it's called.
Have you gotten have you figured out the like head strap thing yet? Are you still looking?
I ordered another one from China.
God damn it. When are you going to learn? We'll see.
Never. I'm never going to. Well, it's the only place to get them, right? Yeah. Like, that's what's crazy is you can order them from AliExpress, or you can order them from Amazon, where someone's going to order it from AliExpress and dropship it to you. Like, those are basically your options. There's some that are like US stocked, but they're like $90 for something that costs $28 off AliExpress. So
yeah.
I'm very unwilling to go down that road.
Yeah, and it's not like it's super urgent. Like, it'll be cool when you get one, but it's not like something you need right this second.
Yeah, I'm mostly fine with mine right now. I mean, I got the facial interface, which helps a lot.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of cool with that. I will say, like, if this one doesn't work out, I'm just going to buy the $100 one.
Yeah, the Vive one.
Yeah. What scares me now is I just checked the I just checked the tracking on the VR headset I ordered, and it says, all right, China shipment dispatched on the 30th, left country of origin warehouse on the 31st, accepted by airline. And then on the second, it says cleared customs. And then it has a Russian above it. And it says in Russian and then departed country of origin. So this might be going to a comrade. Well, it might not be coming to me.
Well, I hope they enjoy it.
Yeah, I guess I hope
it's good to share your share your wealth, I guess.
Yeah, it says Dostavladyetsya, which means is delivered, according to Google Translate.
Nice. So some Russian dude is super playing 11 right now. Super comfortably.
Why does this keep happening to me? I've like ordered so many of these headsets.
I mean, at a certain point it's on you, you know? Like how many
it's my fault. Yeah, it's not I mean I definitely don't expect this to arrive.
And if it does, like, great.
If it does, great. But yeah, I'm not ordering these with an expectation that I'm actually going to get the headset.
It's more just an experiment at this point.
Yeah, it kind of is. It's kind of, you know what it's really turning into? Like a self, like flagellation.
Yeah, totally.
Right? You know, where it's
how
like,
much abuse can I heap upon myself?
Or like, how long can I keep this train running? So that I'll get like a good Reddit post out of it.
Yeah.
Right? Like, yeah. Like this is going to be great.
This will be good content. Yeah, how much karma can I get on AliExpress Nightmare subreddit or whatever? I bet that exists.
There's an AliExpress subreddit. I'm on it. But, you know, ultimately someone's just going to repost it and get all my sweet, sweet karma anyway. So who cares?
Well, keep us posted.
Yeah, I mean, I'll let you guys know how this
the people
works
are invested
out
now, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure people are on the edge of their seats.
Oh yeah,
wanting to know
without question
what's going on. You know, I'm sorry, everyone out there. Another thing I've been doing this week, and this is not playing games, but I've been doing Unreal tutorials.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I'm going to make an Unreal game.
That's always fun. Yeah. I did that with Unity, and I got pretty far until I started having to use JavaScript, and then I was like, oh, fuck, I don't know how to use JavaScript, so I'm out.
So I tried doing Unity before as well, right? And same thing, right? You get into a certain point in Unity where it's like, all right, now start coding.
Yeah.
And you're like, what? And they're just like, yeah, this is where you got to start
coding.
Yeah, and
it's
coding.
Like, of course.
And you're like,
yeah, that makes sense. But damn it, that's why I switched to RPG Maker.
Yeah, I'm like, I guess you're right. But at the same time, it's like, you didn't teach me how to do this. Like, this is a beginner's course, and I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And granted, I know a little bit of coding, right? Like, but not like that, you know, like nothing useful.
Yeah, totally.
And
like, it's not like we couldn't learn, but that's like, that's work. I don't want to do work. I want to do fun stuff where I just like import other people's models and then animate them and like change them slightly.
Yeah, I don't want to have to do a whole nother beginner's course before I take your beginner's
course. We just
want
the easy way out, basically.
I'm not a beginner anymore if I already did a beginner's course, you know?
Yeah.
Just because I'm a beginner to this tool doesn't mean, you know, doesn't mean that the other beginner course I did has no value.
Yeah, totally.
I'm intermediate, you motherfuckers.
Don't patronize me.
Yeah, don't patronize me. No, but Unreal has these things called blueprints. I don't know if you're familiar with Unreal.
No,
but,
I've actually never used it, but that sounds cool.
So, what Unreal does is it uses... you ever use like flow charts?
Yeah, a little bit.
Like Visio, or, you know, like when I work in my CRM, we have these like automation charts where it's like, you know, you create an object, then you drag an arrow to like an action path, and then, you know, you can split arrows off of it. Unreal, you can code completely in charts like that.
Oh, wow.
Right. So, and they get pretty complex. Like you can zoom them way out, and
that's cool.
And they're a bit tricky at times, right? Because it's not always kind of how you think about things, you know, like you think of like, oh, you know, this is my enemy character and it died. I want it to explode. Well, your explosion's a separate like entity, right? That you have to like tie into that action. It's not like,
yeah, it's like
the character,
object based.
Right? Yeah. It's object
based.
That's
really
right?
Interesting.
So it's like, so it's not like the easiest thing to do, but to me, it's far more intuitive and I guess far more familiar to me.
Yeah.
Than trying to do it in code. And I'm sure in code, it's the same thing, right? You still are like tying these objects together. Yeah. So yeah.
That's cool. What kind of,
I started doing a bunch of Unreal tutorials.
What kind of game are you planning on making?
I'm gonna make a racing game, kind of car combat.
Oh, interesting. You should add a serial killer clown whose head is on fire.
No, it's all gonna be anime girl cars.
So are you serious?
Yeah.
All right.
The story is gonna be about, so in the near future, right? They're gonna add like anime girl cars as like a, because anime is like so popular now, right? Uh-huh. And in 2028, it's going to be even more popular.
So this is like very near future.
Very near future. So they're going to try and implement these anime girl cars to make car racing more popular. And then one car racer guy is going to like be like in tune with the anime girl cars and be like the best racer.
Whoa.
But he is going to realize that when he damages the cars, the anime girls die.
Whoa.
Right?
So they're like living anime girls.
So he's going to win the big race, but in doing so, he's going to kill the anime girl car, right? She's going to die, yeah. Right? And so he's going to, like, vow never to race again, right?
Yeah.
And have a Honda Civic anime girl car that he drives and keeps safe,
yeah,
and protects, because that's his anime girl.
Wow.
But then he's going to get pulled back in, right? Because he's got to save all the other anime girl cars from these other racers that don't understand that they're living, breathing, caring creatures.
Wow.
Right?
I was gonna say, if you need any help writing it, but it doesn't sound like you do at all.
Pretty good. Pretty good, right?
Maybe the twist at the end could be like, actually, they're not real. He's just fucking crazy.
Yeah. The twist at the end is going to be like, he's really just masturbating inside
of them. Yeah, exactly.
That was,
and it's very attached to these cars, and he gets arrested.
Yeah. He's a fucking weirdo that
just like
masturbates in a car.
Yeah, he just like tapes a picture of an anime girl to the windshield that just goes off.
Yeah, he's the only one's gonna have this delusion at the
end.
Like
that.
Other people are going to like entertain it because, you know, like,
he really is a good driver.
He's a really good driver, and there's lots of weirdos like that. Like, oh, this car is my waifu, and you know, and they're gonna be like, okay, dude, you know,
sure, man, whatever, just win the race. Whatever you gotta tell yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, don't hurt race car John, you know, and they're going to be like, all right, bro, like, whatever. But everyone else is going to realize they're just stickers. And one of the last scenes in the game is going to be someone tearing the anime girl sticker off the car. Yeah. And that's when he's going to lose it.
And he just fucking goes insane.
He's just going to go berserk, right? Because he's going to see the girl dying as the sticker's getting torn off. And his anime car is going to be like, you have to help her, you know.
Help her, senpai.
And he's going to be like, and he's gonna be like, like attack somebody and get thrown in jail. And
wow.
And yeah,
I love this.
Yeah, you like
it's fucking crazy, but it's very Tony and I'm really into it.
It's not gonna be good.
Yeah No, obviously it's a first game.
It's gonna be real bad. It might not even work.
Yeah,
but that's my plan.
It's your opus. I love it.
That's my magnum opus. Yeah, and in Japan, they have, like, a whole culture around anime cars.
I'm sure they do.
Anime girl cars. They're called, like, Inaba cars, or... Which is... It's disgusting. It's the whole... So, like, the word means, like... Oh, let me look it up. Atasha cars. And it means painful car.
That's accurate.
Yeah, it's because it's, like, so cringe.
Really bad when you see it.
Yeah, so this is supposed to be, like, cringe, right? Like, the whole thing is real cringe.
Yeah.
I think from your response, it's pretty cringe. So, mission accomplished.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love it.
Yeah. And hopefully I can do it all with Unreal assets, because they have a whole marketplace of assets, right? And so I know I'll be able to find, like, car physics and racetracks.
I'm sure you could hire someone very cheap to just draw you some anime girls, like, very simple ones.
Yeah, I think I can get textures too, and so
if there's one thing you could find on the internet,
just get anime girl textures to put on these generic ass cars I download off Unreal. That's the goal.
That's awesome.
I don't know how I'm gonna make like story cutscenes.
I'll help you out with that if you need it.
All right, I might need a little help with that. You can be my co-producer. I'll give you a writing credit. Don't worry, you get a lot of great.
I don't know if I need to be credited on this one, but we'll see.
No, you're gonna get the exposure is worth it. The exposure is so worth it. It'll be like, you know, Doki Doki Literature Club.
Yeah, right? Just like that.
People look at that like, oh, it's actually really good.
That was my game.
Atasha Car is gonna be, or Atasha Race is what I was gonna call it, is also going to be looked at as a as a piece of art.
Yeah, a real subversion of the genre.
A real subversion of the genre. Yeah. I want the cars to do anime stuff too, but I don't know if I'm gonna be able to do that. I feel like that's kind of next level.
Yeah, you gotta, you gotta keep your expectations in check for what you'll be able to do.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's more surprises to come, guys. Don't worry. If you're listening now and you're, you know, you're anticipating this release,
it might be a little while.
Oh, it's always
the Halo Infinite, but like maybe even a little bit longer.
I don't know. I watched a YouTube video of a guy making a racing game in 3 days, so I'm thinking a couple weeks.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, that's released March 2021. All right. Other than that, I played some bullshit you guys want to talk about. So let's take a quick break, and we'll be back with, not news.
More conversation. Sure.
More conversations. Leo, I sent you some links for Tasha Cars so you could look them up.
Yeah, I've been looking at them. They're pretty much what I imagined, maybe a little bit worse.
We can do up your car if you want.
No, I think I'm okay.
I mean, if you got a special anime girl, you could put it in the game.
Well, maybe. Maybe I can design my own.
Maybe you could be the main character.
I don't want to be the main. No, I don't think so.
Yeah, he could be called Leo.
Leo-chan.
Leo-chan. Leo-senpai, if the car's talking.
It depends. How old is this car?
Yeah. Yeah, how old is this car?
Is it from, like, the 70s? Because...
Car's not as old as it should be. That's for sure.
it looks like it's 12, but it's actually 300 years old.
Yeah, it's actually 1,000 years old. So don't worry about that part. God, you're so gross. You're disgusting. I can't believe you said that. Leo-chan race.
We'll talk about this offline.
Oh yeah, we will for sure. So there's not a lot of news this week. There hasn't been news in a few
weeks.
There's
been like a remarkable lack of news.
I mean, this is the true problem with COVID, is that there's not a lot of games to talk about.
Like everything else is, you know, kind of sucks, but this is the real issue.
Yeah, the real tragedy of COVID-19.
We don't have game news to talk about.
This is a real lack of game news. We're not making light of COVID-19. Well, we are.
You gotta laugh so you don't cry. Like, obviously. This is all with a big slash S at the end. Like, yeah. We're making fun of ourselves. Clearly.
Bethesda and Netflix reportedly working on the Elder Scrolls TV series. That's just 3 days ago from kitguru.net, whatever website this is you sent me.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds fake. Matthew Wilson, if this is fake... we're coming for you.
So this is fake news.
Okay. If this is fake news, if you just fake newsed me, I'm coming for you. Elder Scrolls TV series. This sounds disgusting. Leo, what do you
think? Yeah, I mean, I think whether it's real or not, it sort of got us talking about like how this could work. I think this in particular would be a remarkably piss poor idea because Elder Scrolls, as much as I do like all five Elder Scrolls games, and I'm pretty, like, I do like the lore, silly, but it from the beginning was generic fantasy, you know? It's, like, by definition, generic fantasy, and they've built it out, and they do some cool stuff. I don't mean to write it off, but I mean, like, when you play Arena or Daggerfall, it's, like, pretty clear they just came up with the shit off the top of their head, like most fantasy things start with. So the idea that they're gonna make a TV show about it is, there's no conceivable way you can make an Elder Scrolls TV show without it feeling like a shitty Lord of the Rings. There's just not.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's... So I think of, like, Elder Scrolls Online, right? And I think the strength in those games is that they're, completely separate, right? Like, it's not trying to be, like, Skyrim Online or, like, you know, it's its own independent stories. And, you know, I think in some ways, if you did that, like, you could make it okay. You know, I think the problem with Elder Scrolls, and, you know, put your pitchforks away, guys, is it's not the, like, I wouldn't say the writing is, well, the writing's not good either. But, like, you know, it's very kind of generically fantasy, I think, in a lot of the character types and stuff, right?
Absolutely.
And I think having, you know, Khajiits and... lizardmen's and vampires all like
werewolves,
you know, werewolves running around is just, it's so like cliche and on the nose that it's like, this is not interesting.
I think you know? Totally. I think when Elder Scrolls is at its best is when it's doing weird shit, Like, that's why I mm-hmm. think people love Morrowind, myself included, so much, because Morrowind is a very unique setting. Like, Morrowind is not high fantasy. Like, Morrowind, or it is, but it's like, it's a very different thing. It looks different. The way it's set up is different. The characters are very different. Like, a Morrowind TV show would never get made because it'd be too fucking weird, but that would be cool. But when I think of Elder Scrolls, like, TV show, I think of Oblivion, which, again, I love all these games, and I've spent hundreds, thousands, probably thousands of hours with all of them combined, so I'm not talking shit. But, like, you think Oblivion, you think that's going to make a good TV show? No, of course not. It's just like, ooh, the Emperor in essentially Central Europe. Like, we've seen that shit so much, especially after The Witcher's out now. I just, unless they really lean into the weirdest parts of it, which I suspect they won't, like, some of the cool missions, like, do you remember in Oblivion the mission where you go inside the painting and the whole world is, like, made out of paint? That was so fucking cool. That's the kind of shit where I'm like, see, this is creative. This is new. This is very independent from other fantasy staples. But I get the sense that's not the direction they're going to go in. It'd be like Elder Scrolls Side Stories as, like, an anthology TV show. That'd be cool, but that's not what it's going to be, if it's real at all.
Yeah, I promise that that's not what it's going to be. It's going to be a lot of winky references. Get your sweet rolls here. I took an arrow.
Oh, God, yeah. That'll be like the season finale is someone saying that. Yeah. They'll make a whole episode about it.
Yeah. And then, like, the most popular storylines, right? Like, Dark Brotherhood. Like, everything from Skyrim, basically, too. Like, nothing outside of Skyrim, because the attention spans are just that way. You know?
Yeah. Well, and Oblivion's old now, right? Like, that came out when I was in college, which was, I think, like 40, 50 Oblivion's years ago.
Extremely old. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. It seems weird, man. It seems,
seems like a bad idea.
But it kind of got us talking about, like, you know, what would work, right?
Yeah. I think the James Bond movies being made after GoldenEye was pretty good.
Yeah. The GoldenEye movie, it's weird it came out before the game, though. Like, I don't know how they managed that, but that was definitely a good video game adaptation.
They're doing bug fixes, that's
all. They didn't do a very good job.
Did you like the Witcher TV show?
I only watched the first two episodes, I think, and I enjoyed it. I just don't think I was in, like, the right headspace for it at the time. I didn't dislike it, but I, for whatever reason, was like, eh. It definitely felt very cheesy, but from what I understand, people who do like it kind of say that, like, if you lean into that side of it, it can actually be really fun. Like, it's intentionally sort of feels like a 90s show almost in a way that can be pretty, pretty fun.
Yeah, it's good in its dumbness, right?
Yeah.
It's like the Kevin Sorbo Hercules.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of era TV shows.
Yeah, but with, like, modern special effects and Henry Cavill's, you know, fun to look at.
He's quite fun to look at. Have you seen the pictures of him building a PC?
Yeah.
Yeah. God, he's a handsome fellow. Sure there, is. Especially when he's got that anti-static strap on. Oh, boy.
I was thinking...
Oh, boy.
I was thinking you can make a car after him. I was thinking about the Uncharted movie and what a fucking weird sort of Ouroboros that is of, like... So Tomb Raider came out. Tomb Raider is basically based on Indiana Jones, but with a female lead. Then the Tomb Raider movies came out. And then the Uncharted game came out, which was basically Tomb Raider with a male lead. And now they're making an Uncharted movie. So it's like they're making a movie based off of a game that was based on a game that was based on a movie. It's like, what the fuck is going on? It's so, like, just interesting watching these media franchises kind of eat themselves. And I have no idea if it'll be good or not. I bet it won't, but it's still weird. It's like, isn't this just Indiana Jones in a different way?
Yeah, I bet it'll be okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know why, I get a vibe from it that it's going to be very, just all right. You know what I mean? Like, fine to watch. More so than I think we've seen in a lot of video game movies, right? But, you know, I think there's one, like, key thing that, like, video game media needs outside of video games. And that's to kind of distance itself from the games, you know, like, don't try and retell those stories. Like, as bad as the Resident Evil movies are, and we watch some of them for our YouTube channel. Yeah. The more they're not like Resident Evil, the better, you know, it really does serve them to abandon the plot of Resident Evil and just make a dumb movie with those characters and kind of lightly set in that universe.
Right? With, like, you pull influence from it, but you don't actually in any way try and tell the story.
Yeah, because for I think video games just tell those stories better.
Yeah.
You know, in a lot of ways. So it's hard. You asked me to come up with some I think would make good TV shows or movies, and that is like such a challenge, you know, because it's like I think those universes could be used in good ways. Like I said Persona 5, like that'd be terrible. Yeah. And like, it is, but the anime's actually pretty
good. Yeah, I think it'd be a terrible live action movie, but yeah, that's a good distinguishing characteristic, right? Because like there have been some good cartoon adaptations of video game franchises, quite a few. From what I understand.
Yeah, I love the Castlevania cartoons.
Yeah, that, and even going further back, like, apparently Street Fighter had a pretty good anime, and, like, yeah. So there is a series of that, but I think even that's more, like, that's so closely connected. I was thinking sort of live action.
Yeah.
And it's hard. It's hard for a lot of reasons.
What do you got? What do you think would make a good, other than Sonic, what do you think would make a good
well,
live
definitely
action?
Sonic, the Hedgehog, maybe Crash Bandicoot? No, I'm just kidding. I keep coming back to BioShock, not because, you know, I'm a big BioShock fan, obviously. It's, like, my favorite game. But that's not really why. I was just thinking, like, that setting is so profoundly intriguing. And the setting itself could be done in a way that is compelling visually and could, like, bring those elements in. I think part of the twist of the original BioShock, you know, it only works in a video game. So they'd have to come up with something. But, like, that story of Andrew Ryan and that setting... especially if you didn't try and tell the story of the original protagonist or even BioShock 2, but like if you set something in Rapture, that could be a fucking cool movie. It's not gonna happen, but imagine if it did. Like if they did that thing where they build sets, but there's also a lot of CGI, like on every set, and like I think that could work. Like if you had a good screenwriter who loved the franchise and like set something in there, that would be cool in theory. But it'll never happen in a million years, obviously. I'm just thinking of, like, good settings
for a
movie.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Because, like you said, it's pretty hard to just take a story and shove it into a movie. It just doesn't work. It hasn't so far.
Yeah, in some ways, I would like to see, and, you know, this is kind of sacrilege, so bear with me.
Oh, boy. Hot takes.
I think they could make a cool, like, Zelda movie, right?
Really?
Like, I really think if they, I mean... They've done other properties in that universe that weren't great or were okay, like the Zelda cartoon. Like, excuse me,
God,
princess,
that
guy.
That shit is brutal.
Yeah, but, like, I love Hyrule, right? Yeah. And I think if they told a different story in Hyrule, right, and just brought in, like, the music and the art and you know, maybe had the princess and... You know, or maybe a movie about Princess Zelda.
That'd be cool.
Without Link, you know, I really do think that they could make an interesting story. It would be fantasy, so it would be kitschy.
Yeah.
You know, like it wouldn't be perfect. But I think that's something I love fantasy anyway, right?
Totally.
Like I'm really into that. If there's a movie with a dragon in it, I will watch it. And even if it's terrible, like I will see it because I have to see anything with a dragon in it. And
well, Zelda doesn't really have dragons.
No, I'm just saying, like, fantasy settings,
yeah,
like, get me moving. And, you know, I just think they could do such interesting things with that. And I think it's just so beloved in the music. So,
yeah,
like, you wouldn't need to reiterate the story if you had the music kind of make those links for you, right? You know what I mean?
No, totally. I mean, I think that, again, that kind of gets into what I was saying about BioShock, where it's really just the setting, right? Like, it's such a powerful and iconic setting, and it's that part of it would easily translate into film. The issue is, like, you know, how do you take the characters and make them something that works in a movie instead of only working for people who have played the game and are like, hey, look, that's a Goron. Wah-ha-ha. And people who don't give a shit about Zelda will be like, what the who fucking cares? That was the
you can't.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. No, you
I was just going to say, that was the issue with the first Silent Hill movie, which I actually do like. I think it's pretty good, but it did that same thing where it's like, if you haven't played Silent Hill and you watch that movie, you'll just be like, what the fuck is this? And it's not good by itself. If you've played Silent Hill, it's like, oh, that's so cool. They did such a good job of translating the game. But it's like, it needs to be more than that. It needs to be a good movie that stands alone and also pulls shit from the game in a meaningful way. And that just, no one's done that yet. It's very strange.
It is very strange, right? And I agree in that sense, right? It's like, Just make a good movie that sits in this universe.
Make a good movie first, and then be like,
yeah,
cool. Like, what elements can we pull from the games that aren't jammed in there and forced in there? I think Detective Pikachu actually did a kind of a cool, that was a cool take on that, because it was like a...
I really liked
Detective Pikachu. I did too, and I think that was, the reason that worked is because it's like, yeah, it's Pokemon, but it's not, you know, it's not tied to Red and Blue. It's just like a totally different story with Pokemon in it. And that, and it's a reimagining of it in a way that I think was pretty ballsy and also really worked out.
I wish it wasn't always reminding you it's for kids, but outside of that, I think it's a good movie, right?
Yeah, it was definitely very enjoyable.
It does that kid movie thing where it repeats everything.
Yeah. Oh God. Right? Yeah. I remember we talked about that. That is annoying.
Yeah.
You're a reporter. Like, hey, you report on stories.
We need to go investigate the lab. And it's like, all right, let's go investigate the lab. Yeah.
Hey, here we are at this lab. Let's investigate.
Yeah. Yeah. Now we're here at the lab. Yeah. Like, they just repeat things like over and over again because kids are stupid. I don't know why, but I did think it was a really good movie. And I mean, the art's so good in it, right? Like the Pokemon,
and Pokemon are great.
Pokemon are
great. I think Castlevania, the show, like you said, did a good job of that too, where it's like kind of telling an interesting sort of side story set in that universe. Like, that's the kind of shit where I think it works.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think they could make any, I feel like any vampire movie could have been a Castlevania movie and just been like, it's in the Castlevania universe, and it would be the best Castlevania movie.
Well, and again,
movie,
it's right? because Castlevania, when it came out in the 80s, was basically a ripoff of vampire movies. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of these franchises are inspired by movies, so it's very strange to, like, try and bend over backwards to make movies out of franchises that were essentially ripoffs of movies.
Yeah, and Alucard's so cool.
Yeah. Did you know Alucard is Dracula backwards?
Whoa. What do you mean?
What do you mean? Wait a minute. Well, hold on.
What are you saying? What are you saying? Don't lie. Don't lie to me. it is true. I mean, it is funny too, especially now. I think we, you see, it's so clear now because of the cinematic nature of games, like how much they are ripoffs, homages to movies, right? When you look at games like Red Dead, and it's clearly just like a hit list of, like, Western references and shot-for-shot remakes.
And a really good one.
You know,
like, it's a
and really
excellent
beautiful,
homage,
yeah, great
but
one.
It is, like, yeah, if you make a Red Dead Redemption movie, that's a great example. It'd be like, oh, let's make a Red Dead Redemption movie. It's like, dude, you just made a Western. You just made a Western with a good script, which is fine. But again, that's not... Why? What's the point?
Ghost of Tsushima is literally set
in samurai. Exactly. This is like kind of like what Uncharted is. Be like, let's make a Ghost of Tsushima movie. It's like, so you're making a Kurosawa movie. Cool.
Yeah, you're just
why
pissing on the grave of Kurosawa?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that's your goal.
Why would you do that? It's just It needs to be a unique setting and one that is like wholly unique to video games, and then make a movie around it without trying to duplicate the narrative of the game.
Yeah, I think that's why old games are so much more like conducive, right? Because they were like created before all the cinematic influence on games, right? There's very few like full unique worlds in games, and especially ones that would work, right? Like, you know, the Halo universe is so lame.
Seriously. That was actually to bring it back to Doom real quick, which they made movies out of that were
I
still kind of like that movie, not because it's good, but just because it's, I don't know, I liked it.
I like that movie because it's fast.
Yeah, it's fast and it's dumb and it's self-referential and it's like, you know, it's got a great cast. I like that movie. It's definitely not a...
It's amazing who's in that movie.
I know.
It's amazing.
It is. But I was thinking how like the Doom Eternal lore, even though it's really only built out in this one game, the whole story of the Doom guy is so much more interesting than Master Chief. I was thinking about like how Doom Eternal alone, the lore, is better than all of the Halo lore in all the games I played. And it's very similar, right? It's like this one special person who's like built out and is just like a killing machine. And there's a lot of crossover there because Halo was basically inspired by Doom. But I don't know. I just found that so interesting. I'm like, Doom Eternal lore is better than all of Halo. And it's only really in one game. And I don't know what that says exactly, but it says something. And I think that's an important lesson.
Yeah, Master Chief is the Doom guy, in case anyone hasn't figured that shit out yet and thinks Halo is somehow...
Yeah, it's just like aliens instead of demons. Masterful. That's it.
Yeah, that's it. And the demons are kind of aliens,
Well, and they
right?
are. Like, in Doom Eternal, they literally are. Like, hell and heaven
and
are
what's
like...
what's the difference?
Yeah, there isn't... Whoa, man.
What is a demon and what is an alien?
The New Year is bringing out big questions.
What is the essence of being?
I don't know. Ask Master Chief.
Ask
Doom Guy versus Master Chief would be a cool movie. Be like Freddy versus Jason.
Doom Guy versus Master Chief? That sounds like the least marketable.
I know, but I fucking watch it many times.
They have the dumbest names, and at least Doom Guy's is dumb, like ironically.
Yeah. Right? Master Chief? Yeah, what the fuck? The Master Chief here.
I mean, it's like a rank, you know what I mean? Like in the military.
Master Chief is not a rank, is it?
I think it is, yeah. Oh. I'm going to have to look it up. Yeah, it's in the Navy.
Oh, okay. Actually, I didn't know that.
Master Chief Petty Officer is an enlisted rank in some navies. It is the 9th and highest enlisted rank with a pay grade E9 in the United States Navy and United States Coast Guard. There you go. Just above Senior Chief Petty Officer.
Huh. Okay, so...
So it's the highest non-officer.
That's actually very interesting.
Or I guess it is an officer. How much money does a Master Chief make? Starting pay for a Master Chief Petty Officer is $5,400 a month.
It's not terrible.
Maximum base pay is $8,500 a month.
That's pretty good.
Good, but also Master Chief should make more than $100,000 a year.
Master Chief, yeah. I think about that a lot. Like, what do these people do with their downtime? I guess they don't have any.
I mean, he's only got $100,000 a year. It seems like a lot, but you got to imagine.
Well, and also, he probably eats a lot, inflation. Too, right? Like, he's a big guy.
Oh, he's gigantic.
He probably eats, like, $100 a day, at least.
And he's therapy.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
A lot of
expensive therapy, no doubt. Very specialized. Yeah. Highly specialized therapy.
And he probably has to go on float tanks like Joe Rogan.
Yeah, that's why Doom Guy would not need therapy, because he's just so broken and beyond help that he's just, like, he's just a beast, you know? He's basically like a tiger in a cage, and you just let him out when you want to rip and tear.
That's scary.
He's definitely scary, which is cool. I like it Doom Eternal because you like meet other humans, and they're all fucking terrified of him, and it's kind of interesting. Because they're like, dude, this guy's fucking crazy. He just murders everything in front of him all the time and never stops.
That's scary.
Yeah, he's very inhuman, which is kind of cool. Anyway.
What about a Call of Duty movie?
Yeah, see, exactly. Let's be good.
But it's just a rom-com. It's just set in modern times.
It just
times.
Has a character named Soap. That's it.
Yeah, there's just a backstory.
And his
backstory
boss is like Captain
somewhere.
Price.
Yeah.
And he's a sea captain. They work on a boat.
You never even see any of the Call of Duty characters. It's just a rom-com. And it's like, they call it like Call of Duty, like Love is War.
Yeah, totally. And, the ultimate battle of the sexes.
Battle, yeah. It has nothing to do with Call of Duty. It's just set in modern times. And that's the only tie it has to the Call of Duty universe. That would be amazing. Like, I would, you know, and it stars funny. Fucking, I don't know, who's hot right now? Who are the two?
I don't fucking know.
I don't know any actors right now for some reason. But yeah, if they call it Call of Duty.
If they just start doing
Modern
that with
Warfare,
everything. Like
Love is
they
War.
Make a Grand Theft Auto movie, and it's just not about crime. It's about like, yeah, it's like a family comedy.
Yeah, for sure. It's
set during Christmas.
They just tie these names into them, and they're just like, yeah, it's a Christmas movie.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, Grand Theft Auto the movie. Here comes Santa Claus.
Yeah, exactly. God.
Oh, I'm in for it.
I kind of would be too. Just throw the name on it.
Yeah, I think our takeaway is that video game movies just ain't it.
I still do believe, like comic book movies, like when they finally do crack it, and I do believe they will eventually, I think there will be like a flood, just like there was with comic book movies, where they're like, oh, we figured it out. Nice. I think they're like the next generation there will be good video game movies eventually. And especially as games and movies continue to get closer and closer together, you know? Like when you play The Last of Us or games of that nature, like or even God of War or Red Dead Redemption, like they're so close to movies already that it seems like that distinction will just get less and less until eventually it's almost like, what's the difference? So,
yeah, I'm just trying to figure out there's a secret. Like, you know, like you said with comic book movies, right? Like Iron Man, obviously, is the comic book movie that, like, set this all off. Everything that's happened in the past 20 years happened because of Iron Man. And, I mean, the only thing that Iron Man was cool, right? Like, it wasn't It wasn't well written.
It was well written. It's very tightly written. It's very polished, for lack of a better word. And video game movies polish do not have polish.
Word. Yeah. I would say it's polished. It's expensive. Yeah. It's very good looking. Yep. And it's cool, yeah. right? Like, but there's no, I'm just saying there's no like,
yeah,
they just, there's no secret in that, in those ingredients.
They just made a good, they made a good movie. That's really the secret. Yeah. Make a good one.
Yeah. They didn't like, maybe it's cause it's Jon Favreau and he can kind of do what he wants. Yeah. Right. But he's just like, what's going to be cool and just made it, as opposed to like, you know, I feel like in video game movies and comic book movies previous to this, they were just like trying to serve this master that was like, no, you need this costume because the kids will recognize it, or this merchandising opportunity, or this, you know, and it's like, I don't know. I just, there's no secret sauce, right? So just get on it and
make a good movie.
Make this fucking,
it's really all you have to do.
Call of Duty, Modern Warfare, Love is War. and let's just fucking get on with it. Let's just make it
happen. Come on, man. I want Grand Theft Auto, the Christmas comedy.
Yeah, I really want that. So
I'll
bad.
Start writing it.
I think that's it for us today. We took a long time, and we filled up this hour with nothingness.
There you go, everybody. Happy to help.
Happy to
I'd
help.
I'd be curious, though.
If, you want to touch base on?
No, I'd be curious to hear if anyone listening has thoughts, though, on like what could make a good movie, or if they're having good video game movies that we've missed, or like if it's just impossible. You know, it's an interesting topic. I'm always happy to talk more about it.
Or if you could make an anime girl mesh for my race cars, definitely hit me up at techcatpodcast@gmail.com. I would probably need original ones. I guess we could copy existing ones, since no one's ever going to. This isn't like a for sale game, you know?
That's just an asset flip game.
It's just an asset
flip game. You can make weird ass ads on Android for it.
Yeah, with my dope narrative. Please reach out to us, techcatpodcast@gmail.com, techcatpodcast on Facebook and Twitter. I would say go to the website, but I'll be honest, I haven't updated the website in a little while, so maybe don't. That's it for us. Thank you, guys. Thank you for listening. Happy 2021.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year, everybody.
We are in the future, y'all. And I'll keep you updated on how my comrades are enjoying my headset when they get back to me. Thanks. We love you, and go play some games.